Today is June the 1st, and this is going to be an abridged shiur because of the dinner upstairs. I appreciate everybody changing the time of attendance. I didn't want to skip too many weeks. As we already said, next week we will not be having shiur because it will be Shavuos night. So we will not meet again until June 15th, and then we're going to meet at 8 o'clock. That's it. Thank you very much. As opposed to 7:30. Okay. We are on page 154. And we are in the midst of the children, the Shvatim, the tribes being born. Let's have a quick recap here. We had the first four children born to Leah, while Rachel had none. We pointed out last time that, well, this was already 2 times ago, we talked about these four children being born and how that Rachel was denied children because that was the natural state of affairs for our imahos, for the matriarchs. They were denied children, that they should daven and work hard to have the children. Since Hashem, as we talked about how Hashem loves to hear the davening of the tzaddikim, of the righteous, and so they were denied children. Another aspect of it, I don't know if we underscored this point or not, is that these children were not just any children. These were the children that would forge the Bnei Yisrael. This was creating the nation of Yisrael. So it makes sense that to create such a nation, it takes superhuman effort. And so the natural state of affairs was that Sarah was childless, and Rivka was childless, and Rachel was childless. Leah was the only exception, and the reason why for the exception was because of to make it clear that she was not going to end up in Esau's camp, but rather she would end up in Yaakov's camp, and she would remain in Yaakov's camp. Then, last time we talked about how Rachel saw she wasn't having children. She had her exchange with Yaakov. We talk about davening for her. And Yaakov pointed out to her that Sarah, who didn't have children, the way she ended up having children, the way she was zeichah children, the way she merited, was by allowing her maid, Hagar, to become Abraham's wife. So by accepting that, we'll call it the sharing of her husband with her maid, in that way, she deserved to have children herself. And we talked about how that surrogate motherhood, the whole idea of the maid having the child in order that she raise the child, and we talked about how Yishmael could have been really part of the Jewish people, or at least a very significant member of the human race, whether it would be exactly like the Jewish people, or whether it would be somehow an adjunct to the Jewish people, but Hagar's children, or child, could have been much more significant than he ended up being. Because she did not accept her role as a secondary person in the relationship with Abraham. Here we have our example of what in truth was meant to happen back then, in that Rachel takes her maid Bilhah, gives her to Yaakov, they have two children, and we pointed out that even with the second child, with Naphtali, the Pasuk makes it a point to say that Bilhah was Shifchas Rachel, the maid of Rachel, that Bilhah never allowed herself to think of herself as being better than Rachel. Rachel couldn't bear children, but I can, so you see I'm better than Rachel, which is what Hagar said about Sarah. That Bilhah didn't allow. She remained the maid of Sarah, maid of Rachel, even after bearing a child, and then the second child as well. Now, in the few psukim we're going to do tonight, we're going to have Leah do the same thing as her sister in taking her maid Zilpah and giving her to Yaakov. And we need to discuss it, and I want to also really spend the bulk of the time looking at one theme, one aspect of the birth of all 12 of the tribes. So we're going to start from Pasuk Lamed Aleph, verse 31. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, no, that's not true. We're going to start from Pasuk 9. Am I on the wrong page? 154. What did I say? Yeah, 154.
Pasuk 9.
Yeah, thank you. Pasuk, right. 9. Tess. Okay. Thank you. Vatera Leah, ki amda miledes. Leah saw she had stopped giving birth. Vatikaches Zilpah shivchasa. She took Zilpah, her maid. Vatiteno sali Yaakov l'isha, and she gave her to Yaakov as a wife. Vatevet Zilpa Shivchas Leah Yaakov Bain. And Zilpa, the maid of Leah, gave birth to Yaakov, a son. Vatomer Leah Bagad. And Leah said, now you see this word Bagad in the Hebrew. It's spelled Beis Gimel Dalet. It's spelled as one word. You have a question?
Yes. So why she had children?
Right.
Why she gave
okay, good. Good. Yes. That is one of the things we're going to cover tonight. That's an excellent question. Why did she do it?
Yes.
Right. Good. Now this word, bagad, you notice on the right side, it's split into two words. Ba, gad. Gad has come. It's spelled as one word in the Torah. Bagad. You read it as two words. Ba, gad. Vatikra es Shemo Gad, and she called his name Gad. Now, what does Ba Gad mean? Ba Gad means Mazel Tov has come. Gad means Mazel or Mazel Tov, a good Mazel, a good omen. Ba Gad, Gad has come, and so she called him Gad. Vatevet Zilpa Shivchas Leah Bein Sheni LiYaakov. Zilpah, the maid of Leah, gave birth to a second son to Yaakov. Again, the same thing we saw with Rachel, that even after bearing her first child, she still sees herself as Shivchas Leah, the maid of Leah. She doesn't allow the fact that it merits bearing one of the tribes, one of the Shvatim, she doesn't allow that to make her think that she's better than her place. Vatomer Leah, and Leah said, Be'oshri, in my fortune, Ki ishruni banos, four daughters will call me fortunate. Vatikra es shemo asher, she called him asher. How do they translate it over here? Yeah. In my good fortune, for women have deemed me fortunate. That word asher or ashri is the same word like we say ashrei. Ashrei yoshvei veisecha. Fortunate are those who dwell in your home, in your house, Hashem. So that's be ashri, in my fortune, for daughters have deemed me fortunate. There is a medrash that we're not going to discuss this medrash in depth, but just to point out this word banos, daughters have deemed me fortunate. She means women. Women have deemed me fortunate. Why use the word banos? Because of all the tribes, Asher was the tribe that had the most the best daughters, meaning the women who were sought after as wives, for example, for the Kohanim Gedolim, for the high priests. Asher's daughters were of the greatest renown.
Did Sarah come from Asher?
Yeah. Sarah bas Asher, that is correct. Mm-hmm. Right. We'll talk about her when she is born. We'll see about her birth and we'll discuss her. So that may be why the word banos is used over here instead of nashim, women. This is Banos, daughters, alluding to the daughters of Asher, the famous daughters of Asher. And so she called them Asher. Now, we have one very good question, which is, why did Leah do it? Leah had four children already. We know why Rachel gave her maid to Yaakov. We know why Sarah gave her maid to Abraham. But why, and in fact, I would point out to you that when Rivka doesn't bear children for Yitzchak, he doesn't take a maid, and our sages discuss why not. That would have been the logical thing to do. That's what Rachel did. That's what Sarah did. Why, in the case of Yitzchak and Rivka, why didn't Rivka take a maid and give a maid to Yitzchak? And our sages tell us that that wouldn't work with Yitzchak, because Yitzchak, if you'll recall, was on the highest level of Kedusha, of holiness, because he had become a carbon. He'd become a sacrifice with Akedas Yitzchak. And on that level, he could not marry a maid, even though Avram and Yaakov, of course, were also on a very high level, but they were not precluded from marrying a maid. But just as Yitzchak couldn't leave Eretz Yisrael, he wasn't able to even walk out of the land of Israel, he also could not take a maid. So that's why over there it didn't happen. But that would have been the logical thing to happen. So we understand all of that. But why is it with Leah, she takes her maid and gives her to Yaakov? Why should she do it? She has four sons. Now the Torah tells us that she saw that she had stopped giving birth. So what? She had four sons already.
But they knew they were supposed to have 12.
Correct.
So she had 4, 6, and 6.
Okay.
Since she stopped, it would be her maid, her the other two, and the rest would be up.
Okay.
Rachel,
now, it's true they knew there were going to be 12, and they also knew that there were going to be four wives. This they were aware of as well. That's why she named her fourth son Yehuda, because she said, now I have more than my share. Four wives, 12 sons, everybody gets three. But I have a fourth. So she named him Yehuda. So she already knew when Yehuda was born that four was more than her share. So the truth is that it's a very difficult question, because she already had more than her share. So if I'm Leah, I say, good, I got my share, so I'm not supposed to have any more. I already got more than I was supposed to have. Someone's going to have less because of what I had, so I'm finished. So the fact that I'm not having any more children, I had my full share already. Why should I have more children?
She must have somehow thought she was helping her sister to end up having children.
Okay, but why don't you...
Well, either she wanted her sister to pray more or something, but I feel she wanted her sister to have the child.
Okay. Okay. That's an interesting line. Let's see if we can follow that up. The introduction is she saw she had stopped giving birth when she did this. So that means had she continued to give birth, she would not have done this. If she had if after Yehuda she would have a fifth child, she would have a sixth child, then she would not have done this. But because she had stopped, that's why she did this. Now, in retrospect, we know that in the end, Leah has six sons, and each of the other women have two. Rachel has two, Bilhah has two, Zilpah has two. We know that there was a point in time where Leah could have had seven, and she's going to daven not to have a seventh, so that her sister Rachel doesn't end up with the fewest of them all. She would only have one. So she davens to change her seventh son into a daughter whose name is
Dina.
Right, and we'll talk about that whole episode when we get to it. But there, it's going to end up being 6, 2, 2, and 2. They don't know what it's going to end up being. They don't know. They know four wives. They know 12 sons. So logically, it's 3, 3, 3, and 3. Leah has already broken the pattern. So she knows she has more than her share. Now, what is she thinking? I have more than my share. So what has happened? Clearly, I've gotten somebody else's share. Clearly, I've gotten somebody else's share. You know, it's a little bit of a bittersweet bracha. It's one thing if I'm given a big bracha. I'm given a lot of money. Hashem showers me with a lot of money. But what if I know that this money was really, really should have gone to my neighbor, and my neighbor didn't deserve it, or whatever it is. So Hashem took the money away from my neighbor, and gave it to me. So if my neighbor is evil, okay, so that's the way the cookie crumbles. The pasuk says in Koheles that Hashem does that. Hashem has the Rasha amass a great amount of wealth, so that Hashem can then remove the Rasha from the scene and take that wealth and give it to a tzaddik. That's what the pasuk says in Koheles. That's the way Hashem runs the world. So that's fine. But if my neighbor is a good person, so I may be happy that I've gotten this bracha, but it's a bittersweet bracha, because I know the other person is losing. So Leah's gotten more than her share, but she knows that someone else is going to lose out because she's gotten four. Yaakov is not going to have more than 12 sons. It's only going to be 12.
How do you know the other person is losing?
Well, if there's four wives and 12 sons...
No, I understand that part. How
right.
do you know the neighbor...
No, I'm just giving an analogy. Right. Now, on the other hand, what if Leah, really following up on what Bert said, what if she was thinking that, well, we thought it was going to be 3, 3, 3, and 3, because that's what logic dictates. But evidently, that was not the case. Evidently, all along, Hashem was going to give more to me than three. Now then, how is it going to break down if Leah is going to have four? So maybe the breakdown is going to be Leah 4, Rachel 4, Bilhah 2, Zilpah 2. That's not a terrible breakdown, and that makes sense. I mean, they're the main wives. Bilhah and Zilpah are the maids. So it makes sense that it should be 4, 4, 2, and 2. So she's not necessarily taking away from Rachel at that point. Then again, maybe what's supposed to happen is, I'm giving you a bunch of possibilities. Maybe what's supposed to happen is that Leah is going to have 6, and Rachel is going to have 6. But the way that Leah is going to have 6 is herself. She's going to have 6. And Rachel will have 6 as a combination of herself and her maid. Maybe there'll be another maid. Maybe there'll be 2 maids for Rachel. Maybe that's how there'll be 4 wives. They didn't know who the 4 wives are going to be. There so far are 3 wives. Rachel has taken her maid and made her one of the 3rd wife, Bilhah. It doesn't have to be that Zilpah is going to be the 4th wife. Maybe there'll be a different wife. So it could be that Leah really is supposed to get 6, and then Rachel through 2 and herself and 2 other women are going to end up with the other 6. Or maybe Hashem has taken away somebody else's portion and given it to Leah. Maybe just as Yaakov has gotten both Rachel and Leah, Leah was supposed to be Esav's portion, but Esav didn't deserve it, so Hashem took away Leah and gave both Rachel and Leah to Yaakov. Yaakov now, he now is both roles, the role of himself and the role of Esav. Maybe Leah somehow has taken over one of the other women's set of children. Maybe it still is 3, 3, 3, and 3, but one of the women lost their chance, and all 3 have been given to Leah. And it's going to be 6, 3, and 3. Maybe there won't be a 4th wife who will have children. Maybe Yaakov will have 4 wives, but one won't bear children. Maybe. It's not defined. All that they knew was 4 wives, 12 children. They didn't know anything else. So Leah doesn't know, neither does Rachel. Nobody knows until she stops having children after number 4. She doesn't know what's going to be. But she stops. So if she stops, then she doesn't know why she stopped. Now, remember we pointed out last time, and this is the theme I want to carry through. We have so little time, I want to make sure we get it in. When Leah's children are born, which name of Hashem is used every time the children are born? Is it Elohim or is it Hashem? Yudke Vavke. When Leah's sons are born.
I think it was Elohim.
Hashem. How about when Bilhah's children are born? Rachel's maid? That one's really a giveaway. Because she names her Elohim. Because judgment. She names her first son judgment. Done. Right? Leah was dealing with the Midah, the character trait of Hashem, of Rachamim, of Hashem, of mercy. Rachel was dealing with Din, with judgment. Why is that? Because really, our Avos and Imahos, the patriarchs and matriarchs, should have always been operating on the higher plane, which is which? Which is Din, which is Elohim, which is judgment. That's the higher plane. We can't survive that way. Remember, let's recall what our sages tell us, what Chazal say. I've told this to you several times, that it says Allah, that when Hashem first created the world, Allah b'machshava, it entered his mind to create the world only with Din, with judgment. But he saw that the world couldn't survive, so he was mishtatef, he joined together the characteristic of rachamim. So, what does that mean? Hashem thought one thing, then he changed his mind, God thought this, he didn't realize, right? Anytime you're going to talk about changing one's mind, that indicates a flaw. That means that you thought one thing and something else. So we are all human beings, so we can think one thing and not realize that there's a factor that we're not aware of. But Hashem, that can't be. He knows everything from the outset. So what does it mean? He thought one thing and he changed his mind. So what the Mefarshim said, the commentaries say, is that Allah b'machshava means, that it entered his mind, means that's the goal. That's the ultimate state. That's utopia. The pristine state is din, judgment. No need for mercy. There's no need for it. If people could live that way, that would be the better way to live. Because that's, believe it or not, that's a closer to Hashem way to live. You are closer to Hashem when you don't need the Rachmanis. Because it's true, Rachmanis sounds like, oh, it's so merciful. It sounds like a closer way to live. It sounds like, oh, when you talk about mercy, so the person is merciful to me. It sounds like they love me, they cherish me. Din sounds like very stern. But that's not really what's going on over here. The difference is, din means that the relationship is so perfect that we are carrying out our end of the bargain so perfectly, there's no need for Hashem to cross any lines. There's no need for Him to make any allowances for us because we have done what we're supposed to do so perfectly, there's no need for anything else. But the human condition is that we're not so perfect. So therefore Hashem needs to give us rachamim, to give us mercy, because we can't live up to real perfection. But someone who can live up to true perfection, that person is much closer to Hashem than someone who can't. We can't. And that's why we daven all the time. Hashem, don't judge us because we'll never survive. Instead, give us rachmanis. The natural state between Hashem and the avos and imos is din. Because they could be nearly perfect. They were just about perfect human beings. And because of that, the natural state is that Hashem deals with them as din. Because of Leah's predicament, the fear of going to Esav, the need to show that no, she is staying with Yaakov, Hashem switched with her only from din to rachamim. Only with Leah, at least at first. And therefore, the first four sons are born with the midah of Hashem. Rachel recognizes that when her two sons are born from Bilhah, that it's the midah of Elohim, of din. That's why she even names her first son, Dan. And she says that even with the din, I finally had a child. Even with the judgment, I was finally able to have a child through my maid, Bilhah. Now Leah stops having children. Why does she stop having children? There are many possibilities. Maybe she's filled her quota. That's it. That's all she's going to have. Maybe she's done something wrong and now doesn't deserve to have any more. Perhaps. Or maybe because now Hashem has made it clear that she belongs with Yaakov, there's no need anymore for the midah of Rachamim. There's no need for the name of Hashem anymore. So Hashem reverts with Leah back to the ultimate state of Din, of Elohim. And in that state, Leah can't have any more children yet. Now she's going to have to work for it, just like her sister has to work for it. So it is under those circumstances that Leah says, oh, one second, maybe now I need to work for it. Before she wasn't working for it. Of course she worked for it. Of course she davened. Of course she was a wonderful woman. But she didn't work the way her sister worked. Her work was already done when she cried all those years not to end up with Esav. That's when she worked. But once she was married to Yaakov, the kids just went after the other, no problem. Rachel is sitting there crying and working hard to try to figure out how to have a child. And Leah, it's effortless. So now the children have stopped. Leah suspects that the period of Rachamim is over. And she's right. So she takes her maid, Zilpah, and does what her sister does, which is, says, okay, now I'm going to give my maid to Yaakov, and maybe through that, if I'm supposed to have more, I'll have more. And so she gives her maid to Yaakov. Now, we haven't read further, but we're going to have later that Yisachar and Zebulun are going to be born. And we're going to go through the circumstances. That's with the Dudaim, with the flowers of Reuben. We're going to go through all those circumstances. And that's a very, very fascinating discussion. But the Yisachar is named Yisachar. What does the word Yisachar mean? Schar. What does schar mean? Merit or payment. Schar means reward. Right? We're going to get schar. We're going to get reward in Olam Haba. We'll get reward for our mitzvah. So that's what the word schar means. You'll see later that Leah names him Yisachar, she says, because Hashem is giving me my reward for what?
Putting forth an effort.
What effort?
For Zilpah.
For giving my maid Zilpah to Yaakov. If you look ahead, we'll come back to this pasuk when we do it in order. But if you'll just jump ahead on page 156, to pasuk Yud Ches 18, Vatomer Leya Nasan Elokim Sichari Elokim. Nasan Elokim Sichari, not Hashem, not God's, not Rachamim Din. Hashem is Elokim has given my schar, my reward. Hashem asati shivchasi leishi, that I gave my maid to my husband. This is the reward for the effort that I put in, that I was willing to give my maid to Yaakov and share my husband yet again. So she clearly recognizes this as a payment for her effort, which she now puts in by giving Zilpah. This answers an incredible question, which, and we'll end with this. I see this is really the time we have to end. But we'll end with this. She names her first son from Zilpah Gad, because she said, Bagad. So I told you that we read it, Bagad. God has come. But the word says, Bagad. One word. What does Bagad mean? That's very good. Begad means clothing. And the truth is, we can't get into why this is so, but the word clothing is also related to this. This is dealt with in another pasuk in Chumash much later. But there's another word that the word Bagad means. Bagad means to rebel. The Vigdo Ba, when he rebelled against her, Livgod is to rebel. It is written Bagad, says Rashi in the name of the Medrash, because she said, Yaakov, it's like you're rebelling against me. It's like you're taking another wife against me. You're rebelling against me. It's like you had a wife, and you loved her, and then you took somebody else. What kind of a thing is that? Kind of chutzpah. What do you mean, yeah? You gave me your, what are you calling him, Bagad? You rebelled against me? What did I do? But the answer is, she wasn't saying it in anger, and she wasn't saying it with a complaint or a criticism against Yaakov. She was stating that by giving my maid to Yaakov, I have allowed this sensation, this feeling that my husband is rebelling against me. Not that he really was, but emotionally I am sharing my husband, and that is my effort that I'm putting in, just like my sister put in, and just like my grandmother or my husband's grandmother or Sarah put in. And in that merit, hopefully, I will then begin to have children, this time under the name of Elohim, rather than under the name of Hashem. That's what she's saying over here. Now, we read it, Bagad, because she really had both intentions. She had the intention of rebellion, and she had the intention of Mazel Tov has come, a wonderful thing has come, God, which means Mazel Tov, Bagad. So she names him God. She doesn't name him Bagad. She doesn't name him rebellion. But when he was born, she had the double meaning in mind. This child is a wonderful Mazel Tov, Baruch Hashem. I have a child, another child, another son. But I want to make it clear, this was an act of begida, of rebellion, which I did deliberately so that I can later have more children, this time under the name of Elohim. We will see when we continue, and I hope I remember this point, that this was not enough. This is not enough effort. Where for Rachel, it was enough effort when she gave Bilhah, for Rachel it also wasn't enough effort. We're going to see that both of them, they did have children through their maids, but neither of them was that enough of an effort that they themselves should have children. Even though Leah names Yisachar for having given, for the reward for giving my maid to my husband, but the truth is, we're going to see she had to put in more effort, and that's going to be the story with the flowers with Reuven.
Weren't the names already decided in Shemayim?
Yes, the names are decided in Shemayim. But there's always, there's always, there's layer upon layer, several meetings.
That's what you're connected to.
Okay.